Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Molly Green
and Darren Rudge.
Well, yes. Sometimes that's God's way of getting you to enjoy gardener's world.
The Happy Garden.
A very warm welcome to the Happy Garden podcast. My name is Molly, and I hope you are listening to this podcast under clear blue spring skies. The air smelling fresh with cut grass, and the early blooms and the bluebells bringing a smile, and the sun glinting off your magnolia stellata. Chances are none of the above is happening, and it is raining when you're listening to this podcast, but a very warm welcome nonetheless. It's lovely to have your company. And talking of company, let me introduce you to your expert, according to Gardeners World Live, a beacon of horticultural knowledge. It's Darren Rudge.
Hello.
Hi, beacon.
Whoa, look at you using Latin names.
What, did I?
Yeah, Magnolia stellata.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
oh yes, learn that from you. And the label, because I did buy one last week.
Nice tree. Nice tree.
Beautiful. Marvellous. Darren Rudge, how are you? As you and I are recording the pod this... what day is it?
Saturday.
It's Saturday. It is blue skies. It's everything I just mentioned. How do we find you this gorgeous blue sky day?
Well, it's a beautiful sunny day, isn't it? And I'm in fine fettle. I'm ready for it.
Good. Well, today's Happy Garden podcast, this is the one we've been waiting for, Darren, for a long time.
Oh, yes.
Because Recompose will be with us very shortly. Katrina, who's founder of Recompose, will be in conversation. Now, this is a funeral home that specialises in human composting. So it'll transform your body into soil, which is a really popular process with gardeners. And after the process takes place, the person will become a nutrient-rich soil, ready to nourish the land, give back to the earth, and family can come and collect you and then grow tomatoes in you next year. It's amazing. We'll be delving into that a little bit later on.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah.
It sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
It does. You've always said, actually, before we continue, you've said over the years, compost me, just in jest. I don't know if you even realised you could be composted.
Yeah, I'd rather be composted, you know, and become part of somebody's floral display.
We could use you at Gardeners World Live, couldn't we?
Well, yeah.
Beautiful borders.
Yeah, you
with
could,
Darren Rudge.
You could sell bits of me.
On sell-off day
some
on a
money.
Sunday. Yeah. When they flog all the plants before closing on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, we could do small pots
That'd
of Darren.
Brilliant.
Well, it's not available in the UK yet, but it is over in America, so we'll find out all about it very, very shortly. Andy Land will be here with the horticultural history of the tulip. Tiptoe through the tulips a little bit later on. And excitingly,
You can grow it, you can pluck it, you can hoe it, you can cut it, you can boil it out of the ground. You can mow it, you can pick it, you can show it, you can dig it, you can forage, what have you found? It's Darren's Larder.
New feature with you today, Darren.
Yeah, well, you know, once a month, folks, what I'm going to be doing is profiling the things that you can forage in your garden. I'm going to be surprised. I've got five of the best today, really, just to profile. Looking around in your garden outside on, you know, those country lanes, go for a country walk, what are you looking out for? And roadside verges as well, Molly. So, you know, if you live in the city, loads of stuff you can forage and eat. So there you go. It's all about feeding yourself for nothing. It's
absolutely
cheap, cheap,
yeah.
Cheap.
Yeah, money's money saving at its best. Also, Daz, you'll have your sow and grow slot a little later as well.
Yeah, I've got jobs for the week ahead, yes, as well as a money saving tip. How about that? And of course, jokes.
Yeah.
Don't forget the jokes.
I think I'm right in saying I've bumped up your gardening jokes up the sheet list.
Have you? Oh, wow.
Hang on, let me just double check that.
Well, okay, sheet number two now.
No, we're still on one. Obviously, I haven't started yet. Your jokes are on sheet 4 of 6.
Okay.
Because normally they're on sheet 5, but I have bumped them up a little bit.
Fantastic.
All right, okay.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah, and some of your gardening questions answered with our Darren as well.
All of this and more still to come on
The Happy Garden
with Molly Green and Darren Rush.
So let's start with some of your jobs for the week ahead. I don't mean to make future podcaster listeners jealous, Darren, but I think by the time this comes out next Friday, which I think is the 5th of April, the forecast says it will be raining. I've got 2 weeks of rain on my forecast, long-range forecast.
Wow.
I know. It's not fair, is it?
Not really. No. Not with the rain we've already had.
No. Right, well, anyway, jobs for the week ahead. Dodging the showers are Daz.
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes.
3, 2, 1, and go, man, go.
Well, if you've got gaps in your border after the winter, folks, fill them in. Fill them in with primulas and pansies and polyanthus and things like that, folks. And don't forget to prune your forsythia and your flowering currants as soon as the flowers have actually faded. Leave that daffodil foliage on, folks, for at least 6 weeks after they've finished flowering so that they can gather all that nutrient which is then stored in the bulb, which will give you daffodils for next year. Don't tie them up. Don't put elastic bands around them. Leave them just to go floppy and brown, folks, and they'll do the job for you next year. Plant out groups of gladioli in borders and sow sweet peas directly outside at the base of obelisks or supports where they're actually going to climb. Feed spring cabbage with a high nitrogen fertiliser and remove forcing jars from rhubarb plants if you've actually used them. Get them uncovered and then they'll produce those wonderful long stalks that you can just dip into sugar and have a lovely, lovely feast in the garden.
Sorry.
What was that?
I ruined the end of your slot then.
What was that?
I knocked my pencil tin over. I'm so sorry.
What are you doing messing around in my slots?
I wasn't messing. I was literally trying to get myself a pen.
Okay.
And I knocked the pot over. There we are. Sorry, Darren. Oh, God.
All right,
oh.
I'll let you off.
Oh, no, I've had a domino effect on the shelf. Hang on.
God, it's all falling apart, folks.
There we are. Okay, everything back to normal. Brilliant, brilliant jobs for the week ahead, our Daz, and we will do some more of those in a little while. Well, prior to the pod finishing today. Now, before we hear from Katrina at Recompose talking about human composting, which we'll do very shortly, and I did say earlier, you could use the compost to grow potatoes for next year. Should we do a potato question?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to get Darren's expertise, you'd be more than welcome to get in touch. I'll give you the number. Well, I'll give you the way to get in touch. And don't forget, Gardeners Worldwide have said he is a beacon of horticultural knowledge. There's not much that our Darren doesn't know. So if you want to pick his brains, it is thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. I sound like a eunuch today. I sound like I've been up all night drinking. I haven't.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I am absolutely sure.
Sure.
I think it's because I've talked so much this week that, my body's saying, shut up, stop talking. You've talked a lot this week as well. You've been working.
Me?
Yeah.
I've been working a lot this week, haven't I? I've been working with you this week.
That bit of the week was lovely. If you listened to last week's Happy Garden podcast, you'll know that Darren was due into the BBC studios because he was my inspirational guest. You were, though. The reaction we got, it was only like a half-hour slot, and I think you were there for an hour and 15 because the listeners kept asking.
I got to reception. You called me back.
We did because we'd finished the slot, and then so many messages, texts, WhatsApps came in saying Darren hasn't done his jobs for the week ahead, which is traditionally how you and I always finish with jobs for the weekend.
Yeah.
So we called you back into the studios to do it. It was great.
It was fabulous. I was a bit disappointed, really, Molly, because I thought they'd have decorated. There was no red carpet, no balloons. You know, I came in disguise in case the paparazzi were there waiting for me. The security guard patted me down. He got his little thing out.
The metal detecting wand. Did you get detected as well?
Yeah, I did. And he went right up and down me.
How was he thorough?
He was very thorough.
I bet you loved it. How easily we've forgotten, eh, Darren? Well, it was gorgeous having you in.
The one woman on reception remembered me.
Oh, good. Oh, it was lovely having you in, though. It was smashing. It was like the old days, wasn't it? It was lovely.
It was great. It was fabulous. Yeah.
Right, let's get on to a question then. Potato question from Anne. And
potatoes?
She's... Yes. I'm not sure we're allowed to say that, though.
Oh, right.
A lot, because I always do. Are we? I don't know.
Oh, it's there now. Unless you edit it out.
Oh, God.
It's your problem, not mine.
Yeah, I said it first. Right then. Molly, Darren. I plant my potatoes the old-fashioned way, digging a trench.
Yes.
Planting the potatoes in the bottom, then filling the trench gradually and eventually earthing up the green growth. On the allotment, I see that people plant their potatoes on flat ground and then earth up the green growth. Which do you favour, Darren? By the way, the rain last summer encouraged an enormous crop, as on the whole, we always have a no-watering policy for our allotment. I find that very interesting. Thank you, Anne, for the question. Over to you, Darren.
Well, Anne, you see, I favour both. I'm on the fence here, aren't I? Because I do both, actually. When I plant my potatoes, I do dig a trench and I put them at the bottom of the trench. Make sure you've put some fish blood and bone down there, folks. Just mix it into the bottom, because they're a hungry crop, potatoes, so they need a really good start. And I need some food, actually, to be moving on with. And then, basically, I do what Anne does and earth up. But, you know what you should do, Anne, is you should do a trial. You should do some traditionally, as you say, with the trench. And then you should do some on the surface and just earth up as you go. How about the other method, using straw? Now, this is really, really fascinating. You put them on the top surface, and this is all about no-dig gardening, folks. This is what we're actually talking about here, because, you know, modern practice says that you should not dig because it destroys natural networks. It destroys, you know, all the worms and all the beasties and the bugs that you've got in the soil. It destroys those networks that actually build up in the soil. So actually, placing them on top of the soil and then putting some straw on top, making sure you can't get any light to the actual tubers themselves, because that will turn them green and then they're poisonous. And then just basically topping up with the straw until you've got a potato crop. So try that. And how about the alternative is, if you haven't got any land at all, put them into bags. You know, IKEA bags are fabulous for this, folks. Absolutely fabulous. Again, they're a bit translucent, so you need to really put some cardboard around the outside so no light can get in. A couple of seed potatoes into an IKEA bag and then basically fill it up as you go, and it makes a wonderful, wonderful crop of potatoes. Remember, potatoes are very sensitive to competition. In a standard sort of 20-litre pot, you only need 2 seed potatoes, no more than 2, folks, because you'll end up with very, very tiny potatoes at the end of the day. But, Anne, my answer to you would be, I do both, and I've found really good results with just planting on the surface and not digging. And try no dig. Have a go. Do your own trials. And if this is the Anne that I think it is, she'll take me up on this, because because Anne lives in Birmingham, doesn't she? I think, you know, Anne, what you need to do is just have a go yourself. But yeah, both work really, really successfully.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, this is Anne in Moseley because I recognised her email. And didn't Anne, was it last year Anne did this sweet pea trial in the cardboard in the toilet rolls versus...
That's it, yeah.
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 So we could call her actually trialing Anne or something.
Yeah. So my challenge
like
to you,
that.
Anne, is to trial it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let us know.
And see what you come up with. And you might just change the way you plant your potatoes and produce your crops because it really does work really, really well.
Give us all tips as well. Thank you, Anne. Thank you for getting in touch. It's thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can head to our Facebook again, The Happy Garden Podcast. On Facebook, you'll find us and you can drop us a message and post a picture as well of the problem or the success story or whatever, and we can get that onto the pod as well. Do you know what flew past me, Darren, whilst you were doing Anne's potato question?
A pencil.
No, that was about 5 minutes ago. When my pot fell over. Actually, it was two of them. Compost flies.
Oh, right.
I've had a break from compost flies over the winter because I did discuss this with you at length last year. But because I'm using the spare room as a greenhouse at the moment, and there's a lot of geraniums, hundreds literally, growing on all the windowsills, compost flies. Because things have heated up, they've started to breed, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's that time of year.
It is that time of year. Can't wait to get everything outside. Mm. Oh, and also quickly, before we get on to recompose, you posted on our Facebook page a couple of days ago, which made me sick because I just spent £70 on Bare Root David Austin roses. And where did you come across this discount code?
Oh, well, you see, friends of a friend of a friend.
Well, it was your son then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It works there.
So, Dad, do you know there's 15% off until around about the 16th of April? Tell everybody about it.
Why are they doing that? It's just like an Easter special, is it?
Yeah.
Fab.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's bare root, it's container grown, it's whatever you want, folks. Climbers, hybrid teas, whatever you like. 15% off with the code. The code is on the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, don't tell anyone. Make them go to the Facebook page.
No,
go to the Facebook.
Well done. Do like.
Like make and subscribe.
Us a friend. Make us a friend. Okay, and basically get yourself a discount. Treat yourself for Easter. Go on. It's better than a chocolate egg promise, folks.
Oh, yeah.
It's certainly less calories, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, definitely.
And it's so exciting. I've been talking to you about my three bare root roses. And I said to you, I think I've just bought three twigs because it's taken them quite some time to... I've still only got red nubs coming out of the twigs, but they're sort of, you know, getting longer and longer each day. I can see that they're alive, they're thriving, and they're going to be gorgeous. It's fabulous to watch.
But that's the buds. That's the buds that are... And you know, it's a process called totipotency. That's the word of the week, folks. Totipotency, where unspecialised cells in our plants can take on new beginnings. So, and we'll talk about totipotency as we wander through the myriad of plants that we're going to discuss over the next few months, folks. So, you know, where you think you've got roots, like on an ivy, it's actually totipotency. So they're not really roots. They're just taking advantage of the situation. Like when an ivy climbs on the wall and it produces a root system, it's literally unspecialised cells. They've converted themselves because the plant needs support. So, and it's fantastic, isn't it, to think these plants have one brain cell, but actually they can produce totipotent cells that can just specialise in doing different things. And there's a whole host of things when we get into plant propagation and things like that that we can talk about, because that's how cells convert themselves into root systems and leaves and things like that, and climbing stems and all sorts of things. A wondrous way that our organic friends actually grow and help us, and we get so much from them, Molly. It's brilliant, isn't it?
I've actually just written down the word totipotency, and I've written down next to it horticultural word of the week. I think you've just come up with a new segment for the summer.
Oh, yes. Yes, we could do, couldn't
we? Yeah, defo. Yes. All right, thanks, Dad. Right, let's get into the conversation that we've all been waiting a long time for, talking about human composting. So Recompose is a facility in Seattle in America. It is licensed. It's a full-service funeral home that offers human composting to transform your loved ones or your body into soil. And I spoke to founder Katrina Spade in the week and started by asking her just how long Recompose has been going.
I founded Recompose in 2017. and we began operations in 2020.
Was this, Katrina, in response to a need for this sort of process?
Yeah, there was a need for a sustainable way of caring for our bodies when we die, especially in the U.S., where our two options are cremation and conventional burial, which comes with embalming and a fancy casket and lots of concrete in the ground.
It's an amazing way to say goodbye to a loved one. And you say about, you know, the environment, the world does seem to be turning greener with every year that passes. So do you find people come to you because they are considering their environmental impact with what would have been, as you mentioned, a conventional burial or a cremation, which isn't that sustainable and environmentally friendly? So it's because we're all getting greener.
I hope so. Yeah, we have a lot of gardeners, environmentalists, people who are thinking about, you know, the impact that their last gesture will make or have on the earth, and thinking about their children and grandchildren and their grandchildren. But I would say that, yeah, the common thread is this desire to benefit the environment at the end rather than harm it.
I think that's wonderful. You have so many gardeners come through, if I can use the word come through, but that's they know that, you know, yeah, their life's going to go full circle.
Well, you know, gardeners know soil, yeah. And gardeners, I would say, by and large, know about that beautiful life cycle, the cycle that includes death as part of new life, right? So I think it makes a lot of sense that a gardener would sort of appreciate what's happening in their own front yard and then see themselves as part of that same cycle.
Absolutely. My goodness, yes. And myself, I'm a gardener. Everybody listening gardens. And when we think about it in practice, you know, we have the compost heaps. We watch the leaves turn brown. We watch the leaves fall and turn into compost themselves. And as you say, the life cycle of all plants, it's an amazing thing to do. How does this work in practice, Katrina, the logistics of this?
Sure. So human composting is about creating soil out of bodies. So that's what we are doing. And we're doing that, for those of you who compost, you know that it is encouraging the natural decomposition. And it's composting is something that's happening because of human involvement. It doesn't, you know, it's a version of what's happening naturally, but it's sped up because humans create the perfect environment for this decomposition to occur. So the way we do that at Recompose is we actually have a vessel in which we place a mixture of plant materials that includes wood chips, alfalfa, and straw. And so we've chosen this like recipe of plants, if you will, to be the perfect balance of carbon and nitrogen. And then we place the person's body on top of the bed of wood chips, alfalfa, and straw, and we cover it with more of the same. And again, all of this is happening inside of a large cylindrical container. So the person, sometimes I like to think of it, not to mix metaphors too much, but as like a hotel for the dead. So one person per vessel, you spend about 30 to 40 days where the transformation is happening inside of that vessel. And during that 30 to 40 days, Recompose is aerating the process. We're also recording and paying attention to the temperature, because this is a thermophilic process. Lots of heat is created by the microbes inside the vessel. And then finally, after about a week of rest and composting, we rotate the vessel slowly to mix everything up and ensure air reaches everywhere. And then we rotate again on about a week basis. So we are rotating every week or so as well.
Is there, just to go one step back, Katrina, is there a ceremony with you, sort of with the pod, before it goes into the process that you're describing?
Yeah, I jumped right into the process and the science. But one of the things that Recompose believes is important is to make space for ritual and ceremony when someone dies.
Yeah.
So even though composting someone is quite practical, if you will, it's like, you know, it's a beautiful, natural, but also practical way of what to do with the body. We also believe that when someone dies, it's maybe the perfect moment to make a fuss, to take a moment to celebrate that person. And so at Recompose, we've created these places, the gathering space and other spaces where people can have a ceremony. And we've designed what we call the threshold vessel, which is a ceremonial way to pass the person from their loved one's gathering through to the area where the composting happens.
Katrina, it sounds beautiful. It really does. With going back to the actual practice and going back to the 30 to 40 days, I'm actually quite surprised. I thought it would be longer, Katrina, actually, to compost the body, 30 to 40 days. Is everything gone in that time period? The bones, the teeth?
It's very quick, but no, the bones and teeth remain after 30 to 40 days. And we break those down mechanically. And then there's a second phase where the soil and reduced bone is reincorporated and cures for about another 3 to 5 weeks. So the whole time span, it depends entirely on the person. And as we know, nature is not on a timeline and isn't wearing a watch.
Of course.
And so the whole time span is about 2 to 3 months.
And at the end of the process, Katrina, how much soil would a family expect to collect?
Because we use so much plant material, we are creating about a cubic yard, which is similar to a cubic meter, of soil per person. It fills the back of a pickup truck. So it's a nice amount to use on gardens. Our families come, they can take all of it home. If they want to use it on their gardens or plant a tree or nourish a few trees with it, they can. And then Recompose also has a land program where clients can choose to donate that soil to conservation and restoration work done by nonprofit organizations here in the Seattle region.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do you get stories? Do you get to hear, Katrina, do people get in touch with you post-process when a loved one has gone through the process and they have the soil back? Do you get stories of what's been planted? You mentioned there the trees or how the soil's been used. Do people stay in touch with you?
They do. Like, I think one of my favorite stories, backing up, the reason I developed this idea was because we have this thing called natural burial all over the world where bodies are placed directly in the ground.
Yeah.
And I think that's a beautiful way to return to the earth. But when we look at our cities and really dense population areas, it's obvious that we can't bury everyone in the ground. There's not enough, that would take too much land if we were burying every single city dwelling person in the ground. So I developed human composting to be an urban equivalent or solution for our bodies after we die, something that would be nature-based and sustainable and environmentally friendly. So one of my favorite stories of a family is a person named Wayne died. He was a longtime gardener. He lived in Seattle. And after we composted his body, his sister Marie came and she met the team that had done the work of transforming Wayne's body. And she picked up his soil. She brought actually a trailer and we filled that trailer up. And she brought that soil back to the neighborhood where Wayne had lived his whole life. And all of his neighbors came with 5-gallon buckets. Oh. And they took some of Wayne's soil to their own gardens. And to me, that idea of number one, being able to live on, you know, near your friends and family and continue gardening with Wayne. That idea of remaining in the city, being part of the new life that comes to the city is really, has to do with the reason that I started Recompose and our mission, really.
My goodness, that's an incredible story, Katrina. And I'm sure you must hear those all the time. What a difference you're making to friends, family and the community. Do you find that people are actually becoming more open-minded about what will happen to them or their loved ones after death? Taking control, people realising that there are actually alternatives. Do you think this is growing in popularity?
It seems to be. It seems like more and more people are wanting to talk about how they die, how they want to die, what matters to them when they die. And then it extends to well, what will you do with my body? Some people say, just cremate me, don't make a fuss. And that's okay, you know, if that's your choice. But to make sure that we're really open-eyed when we look at all the options and we're really choosing our funeral care and our end of life intentionally. I think that's what is changing today.
Might I ask you about cost, say in comparison to a burial?
I'll speak to the US cost because I'm most familiar with those. Mm. But in the United States, you can have a cremation for as low as $1,000 US. And then the average cremation is around $6,000 because it includes perhaps a funeral, an urn, etc. And then with burial in the United States, that starts around $15,000 and goes up from there because you have to have the plot and the casket and all of the funeral care that goes with it. So burial is quite expensive here in the US. Composting with Recompose is $7,000. So it comes in a bit in the middle.
Well, just as a final question to you, we're obviously talking to you in America right now. Do you think this method will become widespread globally one day? You say it's increasing in popularity. Do you think the globe will embrace this?
I definitely do. We've had interest from all over the globe. We are developing out licensing partners, folks who are ready to open a Recompose facility, say in the UK, in Australia, in Europe, in different places. What we want to do is take this technology and process that we've perfected and make sure it can be available everywhere. So our team is really, you know, being thoughtful and active about getting this available more places. It takes a while because there's often some legislative change that needs to happen. And it's not a small endeavor, but it's doable. We're showing that here. So I'm excited for it to go global.
Well, it's been an education speaking to you. I think it's a beautiful process. I really do. And thank you ever so much for joining us and taking the time to explain exactly what you do. Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you for having me.
Katrina Spade, who founded Recompose over in America. Darren, I know that's the first time you've heard that. What do you think?
Wow, a cubic metre.
Yeah.
Good God, that's a ton bag. The way they're doing it, it's really fascinating that we got to grips with how the process works because it's essentially what we call hot composting. You know, she mentioned the temperatures and things like that. So she's mixing, you know, alfalfa and the greens and some carbon material into a cylinder and then they're basically aerating it and turning it. And it's exactly the same process that we would use when we hot compost in our garden spaces. And I think that's really, really, really is fascinating. Now, some people listening to this, Molls, will be cringing, I think.
Do you think?
They'll be thinking, oh, Lord, you know. But actually, death is part of life, isn't it? And it's that circle. And you've got to think about this. And I really, really would like to go this way. I sincerely.
I think I would too.
I think if this becomes something that we can do in this country, it would seriously be something that I would consider. There isn't enough space for people to go into the ground. We're already struggling with that, aren't we? Being in a firebox, I don't know, somehow doesn't do it quite for me, you know, to be cremated. You know, actually, returning to the soil and becoming part of what you initially were, I think that
Full circle. The older you get, you do think, I know it's morbid, but as you've mentioned, you don't get life without death. You don't get death without life. And the older we get, sort of reaching middle age, which we are, which you and I are now, you do think about it, don't you? You have to.
But I don't think it's morbid. You only think it's morbid if you think that way.
It's the Victorian way of thinking,
exactly,
which is all black and mourning.
I actually think, wow, what a fabulous way to come back and to be alive again.
Yeah.
You know,
because, in your neighbour's gardens.
Well, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, a cubic metre of stuff can go a long, long way.
Well, look at Wayne's neighbourhood. How cool
is
that?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. People could have a pot of you,
you know,
you could be around the roses, you could be helping. You're helping people once again, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a fabulous idea and I mean, let's see what people on the pod actually think. Come on, folks, let's have your views on this. This will be really good. for you to just contact us on the pod and or email in and just basically tell us what you think. I think it's a fabulous idea and is a real alternative to the traditional way we actually dispose of bodies in this country. I think it's fantastic. Well done, Katrina.
Yeah, well done, Katrina. And Darren, that's a really good idea as well. So, yeah, once you've listened to that episode, if you can, or that conversation, if you could get in touch on the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook and leave your comments, or as Darren said, drop us an email, thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll report back on the next pod your feelings on that chat.
Yeah, I think it's really debatable, and I think it's a real, real sort of consideration that we should have the option in this, because there's lots of things at the moment going around about assisted death and things like that, isn't there? I think this is one of the other things that should really be on the table for us to consider. It's your body, it's your life, it's your death.
It should be your choice.
It should be your choice at the end of the day, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know. It shouldn't just be those two options. They really, really should.
Yeah, we're breaking with convention the more time goes on. And
I really fancy it, I must admit.
Yeah, you know. It'd be great. I could sell you.
Well, exactly. You could package me up, couldn't you, in little bags?
I could actually, yeah.
And basically sell me out.
Sell you as merch on the Facebook page. Oh, I don't know. But fascinating conversation, fascinating debate. Yeah. Enjoyed speaking to Katrina.
Get interactive with Molly. Lovely show. Professionals. Get interactive with Molly and Darren. Follow them on social media.
It's a bit like stalking.
Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast on Instagram or Facebook.
You can grow it, you can pluck it, you can hoe it, you can cut it, you can boil it out of the ground. You can mow it, you can pick it, you can show it, you can dig it, you can forage. What have you found? It's Darren's larder.
Right then, shall we do your new foraging slot?
Let's do it.
Come and have a forage through Darren's larder.
Go, Darren.
So, folks, April is one of the best times to look out for fresh new leaves, shoots, buds and flowers to give your food a springtime boost. Most can be found in your garden, roadside verges or a trip down those local country lanes. Next time you're out and about, these five easy-to-identify edible herbs can be found and have a look out for them. We start with the Alexanders, or what's called horse parsley. Intense and aromatic, it's a biennial plant in the carrot family and is believed by some to be one of the best wild vegetables of spring. Every part of the Alexander is edible, but the succulent stem, leaves and leaf tips are the best bits. People say it tastes similar to angelica and parsley. You can steam or boil them, toss in a little butter and season with black pepper. Leaves and flowers are also edible. Add them to salads. We move on to brambles, folks, and bramble leaves in particular. Brambles are both loved and hated for their thorns as well as their delicious fruit. It's likely you've picked blackberries, but did you know the leaves are edible too? Apparently, they're packed with antioxidants and vitamin C and have medicinal properties. Used medicinally as a tea because of their anti-stringent properties, it's been used to treat mouth ulcers, gingivitis and sore throats. You can make a delicious fruity wild tea with a few fresh leaves, infusing hot water for around about 5 minutes. Now we move on to cow parsley. Also known as wild chervil, this abundant plant is an excellent all-round herb. It's a member of the carrot family and is a biennial short-lived plant as well. It is also sometimes called mother dye, possibly because it resembles hemlock, which is poisonous and closely linked with witchcraft. It's the same family as the carrot and parsley, and so the leaves are similar in flavour. Use as you would wild parsley. Garlic mustard next, also known as hedge garlic. Its leaves are mild, peppery and garlic in flavour. It flowers in April and May and is a member of the cabbage family. Its other name, Jack by the Hedge, comes from its garlic-like aroma when the leaves are crushed. It is said that the devil's breath smelt of garlic, and Jack is another old English name for the devil. Pick its thin, vibrant green leaves and chop as a herb and add to soups, dressings, casseroles and sauces. And hairy bittercress is the last one, folks. A common annual herb with rounded leaves that are considered by most gardeners to be a weed. Its leaves and flowers have a delicious, peppery, tangy flavour. All parts of the plant can be eaten when young. Pick leaves and flowers from the middle of the plant and wash well. Since gritty and dusty, this peppery flavour is great for salads, soups, salsa, pesto, and as a substitute for cress. And finally, we finish with just the mallow. Although it's unlikely that this will be in flower yet, the leaves and stems of the mallow are perfect for picking. Leaves are rich in protein, calcium, iron and vitamin C, and is a traditional medicine, folks. The slightly furry leaves and stems are best picked around now until early summer. They contain a resin which gives them a distinctive gummy taste and texture. So there's five things you can look out for in your back garden, your roadside verges, or perhaps take a trip down those wonderful country lanes. How about that, Molly?
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that, you know, your food doesn't have to come from Morrison's? There's an awful lot out there if you know what you're doing. Oh, and we must advocate that you do need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, but if you're picking these things, folks, always check, because one thing can look very similar to another. Some of the simple things, we all know what brambles are like, and, you know, just picking four or five leaves, washing them off, giving them a boil, and then just letting them infuse, and you've got a wonderful, sweet, fruity tea.
That's for amazing. Nothing. And, you know, for my dinner last night, because we had some fresh sourdough bread, and literally all I had was bread and butter, which was just divine, fresh sourdough bread, granary bread and butter. And then I just did a salad. I literally went into the garden. I chose the bit in the middle where the dogs haven't peed, but we have a massive patch of wild garlic. Got loads of wild garlic leaves, as you've just mentioned, and it was just that. Tomatoes, cucumber, a little balsamic vinegar, and that was it. That was tea. And half of it was free. It was gorgeous.
Well, fantastic. And it frustrates me, really, because we've just got out of this phase of using things.
Yeah.
We just think we have to go and buy it out of a packet, and we don't.
No,
it's there for
there.
You.
Yeah.
Just go and have a go, have a
forage.
Try.
A little
go
knowledge on. Goes a long way. You're going to do that every month from now on, aren't
well,
you?
Well, wait until you hear about May. You think April's good, you wait until you hear about May.
Excellent.
And we'll have at least five more plants to profile in May.
Great.
That you've got in your back garden, on the roadside verges, or you might want a trip down the country lane with
nice.
The dog.
Brilliant. Right, well, let's go and have a forage in the kitchen cupboard. Let's grab the kettle, grab a biscuit, a few adverts on the way, which, of course, you can forward. We will be back with Darren's Sow and Grow segment, and Andy Lound is on the way as well with a history of the tulip. We shall see you in a couple of minutes.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A very warm welcome back to part deux of the Happy Garden podcast. I keep hearing noises your end. Are you rubbing something? No, really? there you go. What's that?
How rude.
What is it?
I'm just rubbing my leg.
Why, man?
Because I'm cold.
That's the noise I can hear. You're rubbing your trousers.
That's it, yeah.
Go on, rubbing, do it again.
Just rubbing my leg. Is it this noise?
Yes. It's your kecks. Oh, rubbing your kecks.
Yeah. I'll tie my hands up.
No, you're all right. No, because I fully understand. Because, listen, every time you do your slot... Wait a second. Listen to this. Hang on. Every time you do your slot,
Yeah.
Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Yeah, turn it off. I turn the heater on. Every time you do your start, I put my microphone down and I put the heater on. So I fully understand. Darren and I are broadcasting on, or recording this, should I say, on a gorgeous day. Blue sky. It's so warm outside. It's beautiful. Oh, I say warm. Hang on. Let me have a look. Hang on. 10 degrees. People in Pakistan will be laughing. 10 degrees. But when you're in the house, it's freezing, isn't it?
It's cold.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me, actually. I mentioned Pakistan. Hang on a second. The podcast last week, I'm not sure what happened, really. What happened? We had double the amount of downloads as normal last week. We were ever so popular. Hang on. We had new listeners, let me log in, all over the world on last week's podcast. So this week we were very big in South Africa again. A lot of downloads in Cape Town. I know. A lot in Iran, Japan. this week as well. Oh, hang on a second.
Well, I can't believe Iran. I mean,
I've mentioned Boardman in America before, but yeah, they love us there. I don't know. I don't.
Wow.
Why? Indonesia. A few in Indonesia this week.
Yeah.
Indonesia, India, Guernsey. There's a lot in Guernsey this week as well. I wonder how people have found us this week.
I don't know. I don't know how they sort of pick us up or, you know, just come across us. I don't know. But we are quite high in the charts.
I know. I am fascinated. We're doing really, really well in the charts in America, Ireland and UK at the moment. Be fascinated, dear pod listener, if you are listening in any of the countries we've mentioned or anywhere across the world, how you find us. That would be really interesting to know. If you could drop us a line on the Happy Garden Podcast at gmail.com or the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page. Around the world, how do you find us? We should know this thing, really, Darren. We should know the ins and outs of podcasting, but God be honest, we don't.
Well, I guess it's going to be words that they search for, I would think. You know, and we put titles on things, don't we? Well, you do. You put titles on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe it's the famous people we've had on. Pete Waterman. Yeah. Dr. Alice Roberts, who I spoke to in the week, actually, about her new... She's got a new series out, Royal Autopsy. I know, you love her. So maybe if we mention, like, the famous people's names in the podcast, that's what draws people in. Do you know, I've got to be honest, I don't know.
Well, fascinating, isn't it? But thank you very much. Thank you for everybody that's tuning in and listening in and... Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah,
we still need to earn some money, though.
Appreciate your support. Oh, we're still literally not getting a penny from this.
That's why I'm sitting here in a cold room.
I know.
Rubbing my legs.
And I've got to put the heater on every time Darren does a slot. I mean, we mention it intermittently. We don't get a penny from doing the podcast, which is fine because we do it because Darren and I love each other.
And
we love you. Yeah, we love the gardening and we love doing the podcast. But one day, Darren, we will get paid for doing this.
We'll be millionaires.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. A tenner a week would be nice. We do have the... I'm so embarrassed even asking this, but we do have... What should I say? I'm so embarrassed even mentioning this, but we do have the buy us a coffee thing. Buy me a coffee, is it called? Buy me a coffee. Don't even know. Where you can donate a fiver to us. I'm so embarrassed. It's like begging, isn't it? Please, sir, can I have another? Just some hot soup.
More? More?
Yes, please. Anyway. Right, where are we? So we've done sheet. We've done sheet one. We've done sheet two. We've done your forage slot. We've done that. Oh, we're on to a question now. We're halfway through sheet three. Question for you, Darren.
Yes.
Molly, Darren, hope you're well and had a good Easter. My photo is... it's not a question, actually. This is just a show-off picture of a beautiful thing in the garden. This photo is my water pipe tower. I did send a photo when it was planted up. Now it's in full bloom, hoping that you like it. And that's Keith in Earlswood. I think I forwarded you this picture in the week. And it's Keith has just got an old sort of water pipe, put it in soil, painted it in the most beautiful, spectacular, vibrant sort of black country canal boat colours, and then planted it up. It is stunning. You did get that, didn't you?
I did. And Keith, it looks absolutely gorgeous, doesn't it? Especially at this time of year. It looks fabulous. And it shows you what you can do with a bit, a few bits and pieces that you might
salvage.
Just take down the tip. Yeah, exactly. reuse, repurpose, recycle. That's what we need, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and Keith is living proof.
He is, he's ace. Thank you ever so much, Keith. Hope you had a good Easter and thank you for being in touch with us. Now, I did say I'd bumped up your jokes of the week, Daz. Are you ready?
All right. Yeah.
How are you feeling? How?
Well, I think, funny. You know, yes. Well, we're going to see, aren't we? I think,
you don't sound, oh God, you don't sound confident. Let's get into
now
it.
In the happy
it's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
All right, we're braced. Go on then, Darren, let's be having you.
Well, Molly, you know, I've had a bit of a week, really, because after a heated debate about the leaves cast on my garden with my neighbour next door from his tree.
Yeah.
My neighbour, as his last passing comment said to me, he thought he'd seen my name on a loaf of bread.
What?
But then realised it actually said thick cut. So charming, isn't it?
Oh, that's good. That's no, I'm dead good.
Okay, second one. Charming. My neighbour offered me, for our garden barbecue party, 8 legs of venison. But Molly, you'll be pleased with me because I refused them
because
as they were
too dear. Oh, Darren. I was one step ahead there, but that's very, very good.
Now, looking at people riding around the local nature reserve, what's the difference, Molly, between a poorly dressed man on a unicycle and a well-dressed man on a bicycle?
Poorly dressed on a unicycle, well-dressed on a bicycle. I don't know.
Attire, Molly, attire.
Oh, as in attire, with 2 T's, and then the other one with a Y. Very good, Darren. Did you make these up? Don't lie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Of course, and make all of them up.
Yeah.
Molly,
yes?
Again chatting to my neighbour over the garden
a
fence
we must have
made up.
Mm.
He was frustrated because he couldn't watch the World Origami Championship on terrestrial TV, as apparently it was only available on pay-per-view.
Oh, good. Good, Darren.
Meanwhile, Molly...
Yeah.
Whilst reading the paper in the garden the other day, did you see the fascinating story about the truck carrying Vic's vapor rub that overturned on the M6?
Do you know, that passed me by.
Oddly, it relieved congestion. And finally, Molly, my wife came home unexpectedly... My wife came home unexpectedly early the other night in a very strange mood and caught me in the garden weeding. She shouted, "Take off my bra and panties now!" I did as she asked and promised never ever to wear them again.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, Darren. Oh, dear. That certainly brightened things up. Good, Darren, good.
Good set.
Good
average
set.
Average medium.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Fair
that was
middling.
Good. Yeah, no, good. That was above average. Very good. Very good. Excellent. We'll do some more of those next week. I do enjoy that slot.
I'm Pete Waterman, and you're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. It's always better the devil you mow.
Oh, hang on. My husband's just texted me. He's at an antique salvage show.
Right. Wow.
We won't stop buying watering cans. He texted him back. No, literally just the N-O. Okay. Right, that was brilliant, Darren. Where are
whores.
We now? Eh?
That's what he wants. Is he wants a... Whores.
Whores?
That's what he wants. Yeah, whores. That's what your husband wants.
He certainly doesn't.
Whores watering cans. That's what he wants.
Oh, with a W.
H-A-W-S. They're in Birmingham as well.
Oh, are they you can
go, Yeah. You can go to the second-hand sale. Yeah, and if you look, yeah. They're in Birmingham, yeah.
Oh, my husband has a problem with watering cans. We must have, I'm talking 30-odd, all stacked up in the corner of the shed. He's obsessed with Hall's watering cans. I didn't realise they were from Brum.
Yeah, they are, yeah. They're local, yeah. Local to us anyway, not to Iran.
Well, no, or Pakistan. No. Good things came from Brum and the Black Country, hang on.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
As a money-saving tip, folks, if you do live in the Black Country around in Birmingham, if you go to the factory, the horse factory, because these watering cans are ergonomically made, they're fantastic. The horrible, cheap, plasticky ones that you get are terrible for watering. You know, the rose drops off and actually floods your seedlings and things like that. So buy yourself a horse can. They are expensive, but if you go to the factory, they always have cans that are not quite right. Perhaps they've got a dink or they've got paint.
Seconds.
And they're half the price. So you just need to walk into the factory entrance, say, can I have a look at your seconds? And then they'll sell them to you. And, you know, you get an absolutely fantastically designed can that might have a scratch on it or something like that, but for next to nothing. So go on, just be a little bit cheeky. I've done that two or three times. So there you go.
Well, I didn't even know they were still going. I wonder if
they are. Yeah.
After that plug, if they want to sponsor the podcast,
yeah, definitely. Please sponsor us because you know I need to put the heating on.
Yes. please. Might get in touch with Horse. Nice, good tip.
It'd be nice to have a little interview with somebody from Horse, wouldn't it? You know,
leave it to me.
Yeah, go on, intrepid reporter, Molly Green.
By the way, we're going to stick this out, though. Might as well. I mean, we've been going. What is this, pod 31?
Yeah.
So if there is anyone listening, I always feel really awful when I'm, you know, we're plugging ourselves, but hey, it's marketing. If there's anybody listening who, you know, would like to come on the pod, we can do commercial stuff now. Darren and I, well, our history is BBC. Obviously, your hands are tied. You're not allowed to mention products. And we're not going to do it willy-nilly. We've got to believe in anything that we're going to advocate on the podcast. But, you know, we're open, aren't we, Darren? We are open to...
Open for business.
Open for business.
Open for a little bit of advertising for ourselves.
Yeah, and, absolutely. As long as we believe in the product, though, because we're not whores. We're not whores ourselves.
No, but it's like David Austin Rose's, you know, 15% off. What's wrong with that?
We're tried and tested by us. We've both got David Austin Rose's and they are magnificent.
Exactly.
Worth the money.
So, get in touch.
Mm.
If you'd like to get in touch with Molly Green and Darren Rudge at the Happy Garden Podcast, then all you have to do is follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. If you'd like to send them an email at the Happy Garden Podcast, you can email thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Okay, good. Right then, have you got a coffee, by the way? We haven't had an interlude. I made myself a coffee during Recompose. No. Have you got a drink?
No.
Oh, gosh. Do you need an interlude?
A little one, I think.
Didn't you say when you were with me on Thursday in the studio, I played a song and you said, oh, I could sing this on the podcast. Oh, what was it?
What was it?
And you said this would make a great coffee interlude song.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was.
Therefore, you can't sing it and can't have a coffee interlude. Let's press on.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Damn.
Tell me if you remember.
I could order a coffee, couldn't I?
Oh, go on. Go on.
Can I have a coffee, please?
Get lost. Get last, will you? Excellent. Right, well, there we go.
So it's ordered.
Do you know what, though? God love your wife. I bet you any money she turns up with one in about 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah,
she's so lovely. Oh, and by the way, when Darren and I did see each other on Thursday, when Darren was my inspirational guest, beacon of horticultural knowledge on the BBC, I did bring you in half. At last, you've got half of those 40-year-old beans.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to have a bean-off, aren't we?
A bean-off. I got some, if this is the first podcast you've listened to, I bought some, well, no, actually, someone gave them me. It was at a boot sale, and they're from 1984, and they're dwarf beans called Prince, 40-year-old beans. The packet was it Mr. Fothergill's? I think it was Fothergill's?
I can't remember. Sutton's might be.
Yeah,
Sutton.
It was a seed packet, a well-known seed packet, and it was sealed. And so I've given Darren half of the beans, and you're going to sow them with your students.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, and we're going to see whether they have beans.
Oh, Darren! Oh. Good.
On fire today. Oh, dear. What's that?
Oh, that's the check the mousetrap alarm. Oh, my God, I haven't checked it. Oh, no, seriously, I haven't checked it. Oh, God, there could be a mouse. No, we are going to need an interlude. Because I know, because they... Oh, no, because I haven't checked them since last night and it's nearly lunchtime. Oh, God.
I can't remember that song.
Well, seeing as Andy Lowndes here, very, very shortly doing the history of tulips, do you want to do Tiny Tim and Tiptoe Through the Tulips? Do you know that song?
What, as I'm walking down the corridor?
No. It's the one where he does falsetto and sounds like a madman.
Tiptoe through the tulips, through the tulips, through the tulips, tiptoe through the tulips with me.
You probably don't know any more than that, though, do you? No.
I love you in the morning, in the evening. That's all I know.
Okay. Well, what I'll probably do then, Darren, is I'll probably put some elevator music in here in post-edit.
Oh!
Yeah?
No! What? That's so bad on so many different levels.
Why?
Molly. Elevator music. That was a joke. It's so bad on so many different levels.
Darren!
On fire!
Wow! Oh no! Well, listen. I haven't done this for weeks. I'm actually going to entrust you for the next probably 60 seconds while I go and liberate a mouse.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay. I've got.
Oh jeez. Okay. If it's bad, dear pod listener, and you're listening to elevator music in 3 seconds, you'll know why. Oh God! Right, I've got to go and do the mouse.
Okay.
Beat Darren.
I'll be good.
Be good. All right. Oh, God. Headphones off. See you in a minute.
She gone. She's my chance now. I see skies of blue, fields of green. I know they're new and where they've been. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, oh yeah, what a wonderful world. No, really. I can't really think of anything else to sing. So I hope she's not gone too long. It sounds like she's back, folks. But, you know, hope you sang along with me. Here she is. Molly's back.
Hello. I literally have no... Oh, hang on.
I got that off my chest.
Dogs have started now. I have no idea literally what you've just done for the last 60 seconds.
Well... You'll find out listening back.
It's
my version.
Of what?
Well, it links into Recompose, actually.
Does it?
It does. It really links into Recompose.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll see. We'll see whether elevator music. I've just realised that now I've shown my face. The dogs want their lunchtime chew. I'll see if they quieten down. Otherwise, I'll have to... Oh, my God, otherwise you're going to have to sing again. Were you singing? Did you sing? Oh, God.
I sang, yeah. Okay, I sang, yeah.
We'll see how we get on with the dog.
I think I did a pretty good job, actually. All the notes were right, but the words were probably not in the right place.
Oh, dear. Right, they've quietened down. Okay, right, let's press on. We are now ER. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Oh, listen to the dogs. They're not going to stop until they get their chew. Well, no, they might. God. All right, no, let's ignore them. You can't give in to dogs, otherwise...
Yeah,
because Podrick started shouting at you. Can you hear him? Yeah. He's shouting at you.
Yeah.
They've got to have a position in the household, haven't they? He thinks he's literally top dog at the moment, so...
Yeah. So it's like Bear now. Molly's gone. You know we lost our dog.
I do. Yeah. I do. I'm so sorry.
Lost Molly.
I had my arms around you in the week, having lost your dog, because I know how hideous it is. How's the family doing?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, actually, it was a really happy event, and I mean that honestly, because you know the vet that came to the house to do the deed.
Yeah.
Bear was with us, so he allowed Bear to come in and do stuff like this, you know. And Molly, after all, was 16, probably 17. We'd had her since she was 2. And she had a fabulous life. It was done in such a dignified way that it wasn't in any way sort of grotesque or morbid, whatever.
Mm.
And she's back with us. We had her ashes back with us, so she's back on the mantel shelf. But Beth now thinks that he can do things.
Does he miss her? Is it noticeable?
Yeah.
Because the two dogs have been together for so long, haven't they?
Well, Bear's known her from a puppy, you see, so he's not known any other dog, really.
Yeah.
So he's known her from when he was a puppy. So, and he wouldn't lie by the fire for a long while because that was Molly's spot.
Mm.
But now he's started to do that. And, yeah, he's started to be a bit pushy around things, you know, when he wants a Bonio or something like that. You know,
well, he's moved up in the order now, hasn't he?
Doggy treats.
Yeah.
Start standing or sitting there staring at you.
Yeah.
Looking pretty.
The pack order, the psychology of the pack order is really actually quite interesting with dogs and humans. But yeah, he's moved up one. He thinks he has.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, you are right. You're quite right.
Yeah, it's interesting psychology.
Yeah,
anyway, I've been thinking about you this week because I fully understand, as we all do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. No, and it's fine. Molly was a grand dog. She was Nikita. We've loved every minute of owning that dog. It's a shame, but.
It is. You're always, you're almost always going to outlive your pets. And as you know, I lost my 20-year-old cat just a couple of months ago. So in the same situation as you. And it is a chapter of life. Life without them it's strange, it's different, it's sad. But as you say, it's part of life. Going back to recompost, we were talking about earlier, it's the cycle of life, isn't it? There's literally no escaping it.
No. But happy memories.
Yes.
Really happy memories.
That's what you've got to hold on to.
And that's what you've got to hold on to.
Time for your sow and grow slot, Darren. Still an awful lot to get in and start in the garden now spring is here. Shall we commence?
Yes.
Obviously, you've got to be introduced by the houseplant band.
My packet of seeds are keen to breed the tins that overflow. But what I need is advice to heed. There's so much I don't know. Tell me what to plant on Mondays. Tell me what to sow on Sundays. Tell me when would be a good day. So they shoo, hoot up, and don't die down. Pitiful.
But it's the best.
He
is lovely. It's the best we could do at short notice. So, Darren, what should we be getting on with in the month of April?
Well, you know, folks, we've profiled in the last couple of weeks sowing seeds, haven't we? And you're going to get to the point where you need to prick out. So that's what I'm starting with, really, this week, is pricking out. And then I'm going to talk about growing on and then potting on. So whatever you're growing, folks, and once they've got them germinated, and we talked about damping off last week, keeping them watered just enough but not over watering them, because seeds will just damp off at the base, just drop over. But as soon as you've got that tray to the point where you can manipulate and move those seeds, you need to prick them out. Now, pricking out is the process by which you give your seeds more space, and they need that space to grow on and to relieve the competition. And you prick out by actually holding on to what's called the cotyledons. These are the seed leaves. Do not touch the stem, because they will effectively bruise. You'll kill them. People use tweezers to actually do this. Get your plant label underneath the actual seedling and just prise it out of the compost and move it into either a pot or another container so that it's got enough room to actually grow on. Now, when you're growing them on, particularly if they're bedding plants, summer bedding plants, you're going to need to harden them off. And basically, this is reducing the temperature, opening the greenhouse door on a sunny day like this, and then closing it at night so that they actually get used to the temperatures that there are to come. Now, your plants will start to bush out. They'll start to, again, grow and bush, as I said. And it's an important thing for you to actually pinch the tip out. So when they've got to a particular size, probably 3 or 4 inches, then effectively you can just pinch the top out. That will cause them to bush. My coffee's just arrived, by the way, so thank you very much. Pinch them out, and this removes the growing tip, and it will cause side shoots to burst, and your plants will become bushier. Again, especially for things like bedding plants, you want a good bushy plant. And then just keep watering. So just water, as I've said, and use the rule of thumb. Just touch the top of the compost, and it feels damp, then it's fine. Your compost is fine, and you don't need to water anymore. Open that greenhouse, get them outside into the cold frame if you've got them, or if you've got what's called a vented frame where you can just open the polythene sheet. These are these almost stacker shelving type frames. You just open the sheet and eventually you'll harden them off. And bedding plants can be popped out there in the Midlands anyway, around about the end of May when frosts are over. Obviously, you can do it earlier down south in this country, Cornwall and Devon, because of the Gulf Stream, and later, I'm afraid, in Scotland because it gets a little bit chillier. But that's how to get your seeds from sowing right the way through to actually growing and outdoor and out there. Next sow and grow slot, we'll be profiling vegetables and sowing outside, because that's what folks are going to be up to middle of April, end of April onwards, Molly. So that's what we're going to be up to. We're going to profile just a few plants, a few bits and pieces you can get in the ground so you can feed yourself.
I love this slot, Darren, because it's literally real time. I know we record the pod only a few days before it goes out, but it's sort of real time during the sowing season as to what to do and how to do it. I like this.
Yeah, it's great because people can actually follow what we're doing and getting out there. And what I'll do is I'll post some bits and pieces on the pod as well. So on the actual Facebook page, I'll put some bits and pieces out there just to help you grow along. And you can always look at the Laughing Gardener on YouTube. The lockdown allotment challenge is still there. That's around about 40 little videos. They're about 10 minutes long, so it's not a lot to sort of watch. And you can see actually me doing the job. You can get it through the pod, and you can get it off YouTube as well.
Brilliant. Thank you.
What could they want?
Not a lot. Brilliant. Thank you. Right, where are we? Not far off having done pod 31, actually. We've got a history of tulips to come. One more question about green shield bugs, jobs, and then we're done. Mm-hmm. Talking tulips, though, horticultural news this week, which you know we're hot on. In the Netherlands, there's a robot called Theo who works weekends, weekdays and nights, never complains, never has a sore spine, despite performing hour upon hour for what a regular farmhand would be back-breaking work. So this robot called Theo is checking Dutch tulip fields for sick flowers. It's amazing. It's a new high-tech weapon in the battle against disease, bulb disease. So it trundles along rows of tulips, checking every single plant. And when necessary, it kills the diseased bulbs to prevent the spread of tulip-breaking viruses. And then the dead bulbs are removed from the healthy ones in a sorting warehouse, sort of when they've been harvested. It's amazing because you've probably seen fields in the Netherlands of tulips, and we're talking millions upon millions of plants. So in an effort to tackle this virus, which of course stunts the growth and development of plants, we've got 45 robots patrolling, according to news. And it's a sickness spotter robot, about $200,000, but they're investing in their future. Because it has cameras on the front, it makes thousands of pictures of the tulips per minute, determines if the tulip is viable or not by AI, and then flicks them out. Darren, I don't know if you've seen this, but it's the most amazing process. It is the future.
Yeah, most definitely. And AI can be quite a frightening
thought, can't it? It's scary, but incredibly productive.
But actually, yeah, I mean, this saves millions of pounds as well and actually invests in the economy. So it's pretty good in my book to have this process actually underway and being operated in the fields in the Netherlands. It's superb, yeah.
And you see, you and I have talked about Clarkson's Farm before. In fact, Caleb from Clarkson's Farm has been on the podcast sort of a month ago or so. Oh, we love him. And he was mentioning about AI and the huge combine harvesters that they have, all with GPS systems, AI, robotics, taking the sort of jeopardy and human error away from farming, processes. So their yields are higher, because we all know that farmers have incredibly tight margins. But in order to get the highest yield, AI, GPS, it's all sort of used in technology and farming as well.
Brilliant. We've got to embrace new technologies as long as those new technologies are actually given to us in a format that, you know, they don't start to take over and make decisions for us.
When do you think Judgment Day will be? Sometime next year?
No. I told that joke, didn't I?
Oh, go on. You know. What was that? Yeah,
well, I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger in my neighbour's garden helping to deal with the moles.
Oh, yeah.
Did you? I can't remember.
Can't remember that?
No. You see, now he's an exterminator.
Oh, yes!
Exterminator.
Yeah, I do now. All becomes clear. Good. Well, let's get talking to tulips. Oh, didn't you have a tulips joke as well? Didn't you have a tulips joke once?
Yeah, there was a tulips joke, yeah. It's about tulips.
Yes. I can't remember the actual joke, but that was the punchline. Yeah.
It was a long time ago. Pod number 4, I think.
Yeah. That was a while back. Well, anyway, here's the amazing and astounding Andy Lound with the history of tulips.
It's Amaze and Astound with Andy Lound. That's me. Hello, Molly and Darren. It's spring again, so I shall bring again tulips from Amsterdam. Today, I'm exploring the fascinating history of tulips, those delicate and vibrant flowers that have captured the hearts of many for centuries. I shall begin in the early 16th century in the Ottoman Empire, where tulips were initially cultivated. These flowers quickly became a symbol of luxury and prosperity, adorning the gardens of the elite. The Ottomans were not only skilled horticulturalists, but also passionate about the beauty of tulips, going so far as to develop a specialised vocabulary to describe their various shapes and colours. Interestingly, the split colour appearance of the bulbs is caused by a tulip-specific virus. The allure of tulips soon spread beyond the Ottoman borders, captivating the attention of European traders who were drawn to the exotic beauty of these blooms. By the late 16th century, tulip bulbs found their way to the Netherlands, where they found an ideal climate for cultivation. The Dutch, known for their love of horticulture, embraced tulips with enthusiasm, sparking what would later be known as tulipomania. The 17th century in the Netherlands marked the peak of tulipomania, a period when tulip bulbs became more valuable than gold. The demand for unique and rare tulip varieties reached a fever pitch, and fortunes were made and lost in the tulip trade. At the height of the craze, some individuals were willing to trade entire estates for a single prized bulb. As with many speculative bubbles, tulipomania eventually burst. In 1637, the market collapsed, leading to financial ruin for many investors, so the compost hit the van. No, never mind. This is seen as the first economic speculative bubble in history, and any financial crisis is often compared to tulipomania. However, the tulip itself endured and continued to hold a special place in Dutch culture. One of the most popular varieties is Tulipa Darwinii, or Darwin tulips. They're a special species of tulip that is native to Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan. They are named after Charles Darwin, who was the first to describe them in his book The Variation of Animals and Plants Under Domestication. They were first introduced to the Netherlands in the late 19th century and have since become a popular garden plant. While they are typically grown as annuals, they can naturalise and become perennial in some areas. Today, the Netherlands is still one of the largest producers and exporters of tulips worldwide, with its iconic tulip fields drawing tourists from around the globe. Beyond the Netherlands, tulips have become a global symbol of beauty and elegance. They've inspired countless artists, poets and gardeners with their wide range of colours and shapes. In the language of flowers, tulips convey messages of love, passion and enduring beauty. In recent decades, tulips have also played a role in scientific research. Biologists have studied the unique characteristics of tulip petals to gain insights into cell division and growth, contributing to our broader understanding of plant development. The history of tulips is a tale of cultural fascination, economic exuberance and enduring beauty. From their origins in the Ottoman Empire to the heights of tulipomania in the Netherlands. I had an ancestor that was an expert in this field. He used to grind hamster meat with sugar and fruit and use it as feed for his plants. Ah, every year we would say, when it's spring again, he'll bring again tulips from hamster jam. More from the potting shed next time.
Andy Lound, everybody. Good. Hamster jam. Good. We love,
fantastic.
Love Andy Lound.
It doesn't quite live up to the bush, though, Andy.
Oh, I'm still getting emails about the history of the bush.
my students mentioned it in the class the other day. Listened to your podcast the other day. Couldn't believe you'd profiled the history of the bush.
I know. do you know what I thought in bed last night? Because I was going through some emails talking about the history of the bush, which we did a couple of podcasts ago. Do you remember right at the beginning when we started the Happy Garden podcast six months ago, we had a question about Pat's bush. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And because we were so busy on the podcast, Pat's bush kept getting cut from each. And then we weren't sure if we'd answered the question or not. It rumbled on for about a month.
No, it did, yeah.
Yeah, Pat's bush. Yeah. Oh, the memories. Right, so we've done Andy. Let's do one final question and then some jobs for the week ahead, and then we can all go home. Oh, no, we are at home. So, Molly and Darren, how are you both? How do you get rid of green shield bugs? They're eating my plants. And that's Daniel Hall. Now, I have emailed him back to, as you suggested, to try and get a photo of them, just to doubly check that is what he's talking about. But over to you on this one.
Well, I used to collect these as stamps.
Darren, when will the humour stop today?
Oh, dear. It's getting quite annoying, isn't it? No, Daniel, these are not what's eating your plants. Green shield bugs don't do any damage.
They're beautiful things.
They're beautiful. And they're part of the biodiversity of the garden, so please do not kill these wonderful little creatures. They do so much for our garden and, again, get eaten by other things that we need in our garden spaces. So what we need back, Daniel, is a picture of the damage that's being done to your garden plants, and undoubtedly will be slugs, snails, vine weevil, something like that, that you're not seeing because they're nocturnal. This is when it happens. So this happens quite often, Molly, is that, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're looking for some breakfast, and you basically have a look around the garden and you suddenly see that a plant has actually been damaged, and you think, oh, it must be that thing that's sitting there.
Yeah, there's something innocently wandering by, hasn't touched it.
Doing nothing at all, just, you know, having a little bit of a stroll past, and you think, it's you!
You! And it's not.
And it's not. Green shield bugs don't damage our... You know, the only thing that can possibly do is a little bit contortion on things like bean pods, those sorts of things, because they can lay eggs and things like that, and they can cause it. And there's a couple of flowers that they can affect in the same way, but virtually no damage at all in the garden. They are goodies, and you need these. They're lovely little things. They're like a little green shield with legs on each corner, and they stomp around the place, don't they? And they're great. They're great for the garden. They eat things that we don't want in the garden space. They pollinate. They are part part of the biodiversity of the garden. We need to keep them, folks. So if you see them, shield bugs, then, you know, just give them a stroke and let them wander on their way, because they're a wonderful thing to have in the garden space. But send us a picture, Daniel, and I'll tell you exactly what it is that is eating your garden, your plants in your garden, and how to actually deal with them. And by the way, folks, slugs and snails are no longer pests. I'm very sorry, but the way they actually deal with detritus and recycling in our garden spaces, they are again a valuable part of the biodiversity of our garden spaces. So is many, many other things.
Well,
so,
Darren,
you know,
to be honest, so everything we see, mostly everything we see, is part of the garden chain,
exactly,
except us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and we're the odd one out, not all these things you're looking at.
And remember, all these things that we've been told and keep being told are just one species view, i.e. us, humans, on the world around us. And we've got to get away from that. We really have, because we are part of the circle of life.
Yeah.
We can't dominate just because we've got opposable thumbs. We cannot dominate.
It's true.
Okay, it's true.
The concept that we, I know I've said this before, it sounds preachy, but it's how I feel. The concept that we decide what lives and what dies, when everything, as far as we're aware, everything gets one shot at life. One shot at life. And the arrogance that you can decide what lives and dies in your garden, it upsets me to the nth degree. Always has, and I think it always will.
Well, it's why we're in the mess we're in now. Yeah, we've had to develop as a species, but, you know, we can do things and we can change things.
Be more tolerant.
The climate crisis that we're in now, you know, even if we stopped doing everything that we do in it, it wouldn't change because of the history of where we come from. But what we do need to do, folks, is educate and inspire the generations to come. And that's where climate change can be changed. So with the young people that we've got to come through, you're all gardeners.
Yeah.
Just get out there. Whatever type of gardening you do, you know, you might feel, well, I'm not really up to the job, but whatever you do, just inspire them. Get them out there.
Yeah.
Get their hands in the soil. Get them growing, you know, get them doing stuff. And that is where you can make a difference. And that is what sustainability really is about. It's for the generations to come, not our generation. God,
and
on
do.
My soapbox.
Well, no, we have to be. I remember years ago, and I know I told you about it, and it upset me. I literally plunged into some sort of depression over this, that somebody had emailed us when we did the gardening phone-in, and it was a shield bug, strangely, because that's what, you know, started this conversation. They'd emailed me a picture of a shield bug saying, could you ask Darren what this, and then laughed, was. I didn't know what it was. It didn't last long. I killed it straight away. Ha, ha, ha. There was lots of ha's at the end. And it was a beautiful green shield bug. They didn't know what it was, so they killed it.
Yeah.
It's always stuck with me. And it's such a sad concept. A lot of people, I suppose, do have. But as you say, educate yourself. Have a Google. It's not going to kill you. And it's really, really vital. We look after everything.
Well, I think more than ever, Molly, we've got access to apps, Google Lens, all those sorts of things where you can take a quick click, do a search, Google search. It'll come up with results for you and then you can do your investigation and stuff.
Nothing's
like that.
Nothing's going to kill you in this country.
No, nothing.
Don't
nothing
worry.
At all. Well, the odd adder. Mind you, they're not that poisonous, are they?
Oh, I'd love to see an adder.
Yeah,
we ought
definitely.
To do something on snakes, actually. On
I
think we've only got three types, haven't we, in Britain? Corn adder and something else. It's a privilege to see one. We used to see them all the time when I was younger in the garden.
Definitely. But there's nothing going to... I mean, this is why I wouldn't live in Australia. I couldn't.
I went there once. I was
a bit
scared.
No way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Checking your shoes in the morning. No.
Well, do you know, apparently the smaller, specifically spiders, the smaller, the more deadly... We were up in, we've only been to Australia once, up in Cairns in the Northern Territory, which is, you know, sort of real tropical climate, and they have bird-eating spiders. The spiders are so big, they will eat a bird.
I just couldn't imagine waking up in the morning in bed and there's like a tarantula above me.
Oh, when we got there, the night we got there, only been once, as I say, and we stayed with our brother-in-law. Hi, Mark, if you're listening, our Mark, who's in Brisbane. All right, Mark, and family. And we were, oh, God love him, he gave us his bedroom when we got there, him and his wife. Hi, Kate. And we were in bed, first night we'd ever been to Australia. And we were knackered, obviously, because of jet lag. And the light was on. And we looked up at the coving on the ceiling and there was a huntsman. And it had its, and I'm talking, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, Mark. He's probably laughing, listening. Half the size of your hand. And it had its two front legs up. And it was looking down at us, and we just said, fuck! We sort of called out into the corridor, and he came and said, oh, it's nothing. He said, don't worry, they're absolutely fine. The bigger, the less harmless. We were looking, we had to turn the light off, knowing full well this thing was in the room. But it's, even if it, you know, it's nothing over there. So really, anyway, back to the shield bug. Don't worry about it, Daniel.
No. It's a goodie. Send us a picture of your damaged plants and I'll tell
yes,
you what
yes,
it is.
Yes, yes, yes. But we have nothing to worry about in this country. Damage. Yeah. No, okay. No, no. Darren, oh my goodness, this is going to be a bumper of a podcast. We've got jobs and then we're finished, but this is a bumper edition today.
Yes.
It's been good though.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Right, then we'll finish with some jobs for the week ahead. Hang on, let me find them. There they are. I said right at the top of the podcast, I've had a look at the two-week forecast. This is for here in the Midlands in the UK. As nice as it is this Easter weekend when Darren and I are recording this, I think we've just got rain coming for the next couple of weeks. But dodging the showers, what shall we be getting on with?
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes.
And one, go.
Well, sow seeds of the following crops outside or under cloches, folks. Carrots, beetroot, broad beans, salad onions, cauliflowers, cabbages, Brussels sprouts, spinach, leeks, lettuce, rocket, coriander, mixed salad, or stir-fry leaves, radish, turnip, peas, mange tout, lettuce and Swiss chard. I told you it was all kicking off, folks, so get them out there, get them growing. Grow them, sow them into containers if you want to, keep them undercover, or get them out there and put some cloches over them. General gardening jobs include spreading compost and mulch around your beds and borders to suppress weeds. Okay, get the pond pumps out and the fountains back into your pools, thoroughly cleaning the filters first. You can lay new turf or sow a new lawn. Okay, clean out your bird baths and top up the fresh water. So there's no being idle, folks. Check tree ties are not too tight. Or cutting into the bark, and if so, loosen them off, OK? And cut back overgrown ivy and open your glasshouse up to start to harden those plants off.
Mange
tout. How about that, Molly?
Mange tout, as the French say.
Mange tout, mange tout.
Brilliant. Oh, Darren, that was great. Loved it, loved it, loving it large. That's about it, really.
Brilliant.
For Podcast 31. So what are you doing today, Darren?
Well, it's clean the car out day, you see, yeah. So because we're going away, got to clean the car out, yeah. Wash it,
yeah.
Check the tyre pressures, check the oil, you know, all that sort of stuff. And...
Yes. You're rubbing your... I can hear you're rubbing your trousers in excitement.
it's packing day.
Ah.
I've got to pack. Got to pack.
Oh, such a fib. You're actually packing your own case.
Well, I'm just putting things out that I need... For my holiday.
Oh, nice.
And I'll just point and say, I'll have two of those, £2.
£2? You're going away for a week, aren't you, Darren?
Well, there's a washing machine there.
£2. Oh, well, that's okay then.
They call me £2, Rudge.
Take some travel wash, do it. Do your smalls in the sink, for God's sake.
Just run into the sea, let it dry. It's fine for a week, isn't it?
Oh, damn. Well, we must wish you bon voyage. Seriously, you deserve a break. You and your family do deserve to get your feet up. So enjoy.
No, we're really looking forward to it. And, you know, we're going up to Whitby, so I'll say hello to Dracula for you. it's fabulous, fabulous time. And we really, really love it. And it is chilled down because we book a cottage that's in the middle of nowhere, down a country lane.
Lovely.
No lights, no nothing, and the silence hurts your ears. So
it's
going to be great.
That. Well, if there's any Rudge, you know, family photos or any flora and fauna that you see, feel free to stick it on our podcast
I'll
page.
I'll report back,
okay?
Because I'll be out and about with the dog. So me and Bear will be walking. So actually, it'll be a bit of a change from the towpaths in the West Midlands, won't it?
Yeah.
So I'll stick some bits on the pod. All right.
Yeah, on the Facebook page. That would be
lovely.
We'll
do, yeah.
Happy holidays, Rudges.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your company today. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to send them an email, get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast by emailing thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.